Today I want to talk about the kingdom of God. I don't know how long I'll be. I'll probably be short today. But I want to open up with some scriptures, and this will be your scriptures for today. And there's a few of them. And then I want to talk about some things about the kingdom. So Father God, I just come before you today, and I just thank you for what you're doing, Lord, that we can focus our eyes, focus our heart, and focus our spirit unto you. Father, that we give you glory and honor and worship this morning, Father. Now as we open up your word, Father, let it stir things within our spirit. Let it energize us. Let it come truth into our spirit, God. Father, let it give us revelation. And so, Father, we honor your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the first scripture today I want to open up with is Jeremiah 23:5. And it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." Okay? Then I'm going to go into Daniel. Daniel 2, Daniel 7 will be the next three verses. Daniel 2:44 says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Daniel 7:13-14 says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming in with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed." Daniel 7:27 says, "Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." And now we move to the New Testament in Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." This is in the Beatitudes. He's talking in the Beatitudes, and he says, he's going through this thing, and all these, could you imagine all these people on the mountain or on the side of this hill when we were there, and he's teaching, and he's just teaching, and he says, listen to this, "But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." In Mark 1:14-15, it says, "Now after John was put in prison, John the Baptist, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" In Luke 4:43, it says, "But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent.'" Talking a lot about the kingdom. In Luke 17:20-21, it says, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you.'" In John 3:3, it says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" And in John, our last scripture this morning will be John 18:33-37. And this is where Jesus is standing before Pilate. And he says, "Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And Jesus answered him, 'Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done?' And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." See, the kingdom of God can be in a person's heart, and it can be manifested outwardly. How many really know about the kingdom of God? I mean, we hear it preached. We hear people talk about it. We hear how Jesus said, here's how to pray. And really, we know nothing about the kingdom, except the kingdom is here. It's at hand. The kingdom is here. See, God never intended to start a church or establish a religious belief. He never intended that. He wanted to establish his government in the earth. Okay? We sometimes I think we get things so wrong. I mean, he wanted to establish his government in the earth. When we go back to the Old Testament, and we talked last week about how the Israelite people would put the words of God on their frontal and on their arm, right? And God established these laws. When he brought them out of Egypt, he established these rules and laws of the kingdom. Thou shalt not, right? And he established it way before Jesus even came into the earth. But when the fullness of time had come, when everything was right when it was supposed to be right, Jesus comes into the earth. That's an amazing thing because, you know, if you think about it, what is that, 3,500 years ago that God brought Israel out of Egypt? And here we are today. Is God's government established in the earth? Is his government established in the earth? See, God waited until the Roman government was established in the earth because it was the closest thing that looked like his kingdom. See, before there was kings, right, established in the land, and they would conquer and do things. And so in a kingdom, what you would see is you would see a king, right? Different territories would have kings. And if this king wanted to dominate Willie's territory, if he was king over there, I would kind of say, you know what, let's go up against Willie and let's take over his kingdom. And what I would do is if my army was bigger than his army, I would come in and I would destroy everyone in this land. And I would consume. I would kill everyone in this land. That's how they did it back then. They just consumed them. Why did God take the Israelites when they started conquering the land and territory? He started killing them all, right? Why did he kill them all? Because he didn't want their influence upon his people. It's the same with any other king. He did not want their influence on his kingship. He didn't want people causing division in his kingdom. Right? That's why I say, and you'll hear it more and more, is two kingdoms can't live in the same area. Two kingdoms cannot live together. They cannot do it. It just does not work. There'll be conflict. There'll be disruptions. It'll just be a mess. It'll just be disastrous if two kingdoms are living together. And you'll see that in people's lives, that some will confess to be Christians, and then their lives that live worldly will be worldly, and it just doesn't work because then you'll see the fruit of what is really established in their life. I was talking to some people the other day, and he was telling me these scriptures, and they would open up their word and read to me, "Look at what I learned today," and this, and then I would listen to him talk to me, and I would just listen to the fruit of his mouth. And I would listen to the fruit of his heart. And so what I said, and I'm kind of pretty blunt sometimes, and I said, "I don't see any fruit of the kingdom of God in your life. How can you have the kingdom of God in your life when you act this way? And the fruit of what you are is here." It doesn't work. So the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan can't be living together in the same place, or there will be chaos. Now, here we are. Jesus is coming on the scene. Right before Jesus comes on the scene, who begins to take over territories all around the Middle East? You know? Rome. What did Rome do when they took over territories? Huh? Here's what they did. They colonized it. They colonized it. So when they came in, they were not like the kings of the old days, but they began to come in and say, okay, here's we're not going to kill you. We just want to take over your territory, but we want you to start to act like our Caesar. So what they would do is they would begin to send ambassadors into the kingdom. Once they conquered the area, they conquered the, oppression against them, or the armies there. They would conquer the armies, but the people, the citizens of that area, they would just begin to colonize them into the way that they lived in Rome. And so everybody in the Roman Empire would act like, be like the Roman Empire, or like the Caesar. So this was the closest thing that God could say that this is what my kingdom is like. And so Jesus comes into the scene saying, my kingdom, I'm going to preach the kingdom of God. I'm going to have to stay on my notes just a little bit so I know. So when the conquered territory, they would send an ambassador in that is a representative from their government. So once it's conquered, right? Once the area is conquered, they would send an ambassador in to make sure people learn how to talk like them, how they ate, how they served, how they worshiped. That ambassador would come in and teach the people and indoctrinate them into the culture of the Roman Empire. Who's our ambassador that came into the earth 2,000 years ago? He came in to establish the kingdom of God. His purpose, as we read this morning. And then he did what? He got 12 disciples. He gathered 12 disciples and he began to teach them things about the kingdom. I would have loved to have sat in those conversations in the middle of the night whenever they sat before Jesus after a long night and he began to talk to them. Especially after his resurrection, and he sat down and he began to talk to them and tell them about the kingdom and the true nature of the kingdom of God and how it was supposed to impact the world. See, the kingdom of God is supposed to impact the world. We are supposed to drive out the other king or the other kingdom that is in this world. And we know that kingdom is the kingdom of Satan. It's the kingdom of darkness. And God was supposed to, through the Holy Spirit, I'm supposed to drive out the kingdom of darkness. And what you see today is in Israel, and you're starting to see some of this, is we are starting to drive out the kingdom of darkness. And he's raising his head high because he knows time is short. And this is the greatest time to ever live. People, the prophets and all of them would have loved to have seen the time that we are living in. See, if the king did a certain thing, say maybe he ate or drink tea at a certain time. We know in England they drink tea, right? The king drinks tea, so what? Everybody else drinks tea, right? Here in the United States, people drink beer. The worldly people drink beer. Why? Because that is what the kingdom of darkness says to do. The kingdom of darkness tries to tear you down and do all these certain things. You go out and party on Friday and Saturday night or any time at night, you go out and party. But the kingdom of God is not like that. If the king talked a certain language, the people begin to talk that language. There is a heavenly language that God is implementing into the earth. He has been doing that for a long time since the book of Acts. He is indoctrinating the people into the kingdom language. God waited until the government on the earth, there was a government on the earth that could identify with his kingdom. So the Roman Empire could identify. It wasn't like, but it was identifying as God's kingdom. It's kind of the same nature, how they would come in and colonize and change the territory. God could have came in and destroyed the works of the enemy at that very moment. But he didn't choose that because he wanted people to choose him. So when the perfect time had come, God sends Jesus into the earth to be the ambassador into the earth and teach us. Jesus preaches the kingdom of God is at hand. See, when we get born again, you are no longer a sinner. We hear people say, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You hear this all the time, right? Sinner saved by grace. Are you still a sinner? Are you a born-again Christian? Are you a born-again saint? Are you a born-again child of God? Are you still a sinner? Absolutely not. You've been changed. You've been changed from who you used to be. Your identity changes. I get so tired of the world. The world tries to give you identity, right? They try to give you these names. So when you go to the doctor and they say you have this and you have that, they identify you with something. And then you take on that identity. That's who you are. You guys know. You guys still have that same. You ain't Amish no more. Your identity is completely changed. I don't see you as that. I see you as a son and daughter of God. But wherever you go, people want to identify you as what the world wants to identify you as. If you was a drug dealer or you was an alcoholic or whatever, and you have changed your life, they still identify you as that person. Your old friends, you know, say you went to school and you was a partier and you did all that stuff, and they will, if they don't know who you are and they see you 20 years later, they identify you as what you were or still think of what you used to be. But you got to demonstrate the kingdom of God. You know, I'm a totally changed individual. I'm not a sinner saved by grace anymore. I'm a son of a child of God. I have been liberated from my old identity, right? Jeff's been liberated. So this identity complex that the world tries to place on you basically tries to get you away from understanding that you are a child and daughter of the God Most High. And if the enemy can identify you and you identify with these things, then constantly you will be in this place of woe is me, I am this. Woe is me, this is who I am. This is the things that I deal with. Woe is me. Instead, you know what? I'm a child of the God. I don't identify with that anymore. I have been chosen by God. I have been set free by the Jesus' blood. I am a free individual in the kingdom of God. But we too many times we identify with what people label us as. Get out of the identity that people place on you or these labels that they place upon you. You are a son and daughter of the Most High. No other thing. No other label can they give you. No other label. No other label. No schizophrenia. No bipolarism. No other label because you are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High God. There is nothing else that God labels you as. There's nothing else that God sees you as a son and daughter of the Most High. You are His child that can crawl up in His lap at any moment, any time. You can get before Him and lay out before Him, and you can holler at Him and talk to Him and communicate with Him. Because you're a child of the Most High. You are not this and you are not that. You are the daughter. You've been given a name here on earth, but you're going to be given a new name in heaven. Your name is written. Amen? See, the Bible calls you a child of God. It calls you a saint. It calls you an ambassador. It calls you priest. What do you want to be called? Do you want to be labeled as the world, or do you want to be labeled as the Bible calls you? We are all priests, right? Sons and daughters of the King. That's our label. That's who we are. The kingdom we represent is not in this world. It is in heaven. But we are supposed to bring them the kingdom here. We are supposed to establish the kingdom here. We are supposed to be ambassadors of the kingdom. We are supposed to change the world as like the kingdom is. But if you do not spend time with the Father to see what the kingdom is, how do you demonstrate the kingdom to anyone else? We got to spend time. And I don't know, last week's message, if it ever caught you or done anything with you, did you open up your word for 30 minutes a day? Did you take time out and cut it out before the Lord and say, here's time that I want to get to know you? You can't bring the kingdom of God into a place that you have never seen the kingdom. It just doesn't work. Your identity is you're an ambassador. You're a priest. You're a sons and daughter. That is your identity. You've got to identify with that. But to know the kingdom, you've got to know. An ambassador will know everything about his kingdom. He will grow in the kingdom. He will understand. He will go directly to the king himself and get the direction that he needs to have. When Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come." Come right here. Right? Come right here. Your kingdom come. It's in heaven. You bring your kingdom here in the earth. You're the ambassadors for Terre Haute, Indiana. We are the ambassadors. The ecclesia is the ambassadors of the kingdom of God that is supposed to take this message, this kingdom, through the land of Terre Haute, Indiana, and then wherever it goes from there. That is what we're supposed to do. But we get so caught up in our woe is me, turning inward on things. Look, what can you do for me, God? What can you do for me? I get struggled with that. It's like I have everything I need because the kingdom of God lives within inside of me. The kingdom of God resides within me. Now I need to learn how to function in it. I need to learn how to use every part of the kingdom. Every rule, every regulation, and every freedom thing that he gives us in the kingdom. I need to learn it as well. I've already talked about some of that, so I'm moving on. Listen to this. The ambassadors, okay? What's an ambassador? Huh? Represents, okay. So it represents who? The king. So ambassadors have opinions, right? Or do they? Do an ambassador have an opinion? They don't have an opinion. So he does what the king says. So he has no opinion. That means you have no opinion. If you're an ambassador of Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit living on the side of you, and you have the kingdom living on the side of you, you don't have an opinion. Wilmer, you don't have an opinion. That's strange, ain't it? He or she can only say what the king says. Only. So if someone comes up to you and says, "What do you think about same-sex marriage?" Do you have an opinion? You do have an opinion? The king does, you don't. The ambassador does not have an opinion. How do you know what the king says about this situation? It's in the word. It's in his law. It's an abomination. So if someone comes to you and says, "What do you think? What do you think, Bernie, about same-sex marriage?" You would say, "Don't let him talk. He has an opinion." You would say, "Well, here's what the word says. Here's what my king says. He says it's an abomination. It's an abomination. I have no opinion. But what I do have is what the word of God tells me, and that is the kingdom I represent as I am the ambassador into this earth, and here's what the word of God says." I have no opinion. They can't come back on you and say, "Well, you're a racist, or you're this, or you're that." Here's the opinion. There is none. Here's what the word of God says from the kingdom that I represent. It says that this is an abomination. Same-sex marriage, it doesn't work. The LGBTQ ABCs, all that stuff. What do you think about that? Well, here's what the word of God says. It's as simple as that. We represent a kingdom. You have no opinion. You do not have an opinion, even though you do, you think you do. You've been indoctrinated in things, but this is where, when you read the Word 30 minutes a day, and you begin to understand, and you begin to hear the Word of God, that means you begin to represent the kingdom, because if you do not know the kingdom values or the kingdom laws, you cannot represent the kingdom well. Then you give an opinion because you're not truly a true ambassador of the kingdom of God. Got me? When we hear people, and I hear this so many times because we have so much diversity in the land. We have the far left, the far right, and it's just, I've never seen it like this. I mean, you guys, some of you are older than I am, and you know how things were probably better than they are today. But there is so much hate, and one side is worse than the other, and they just like, they have these opinions. These talk news shows, right? All these talk news shows have an opinion. It is not even really the news. It's an opinion of what they think. And we're listening to an opinion of someone else that has been indoctrinated in some school or some thought that they've been indoctrinated into. And here we are. We're watching news. People will watch the news for days about something that's going on, instead of saying, you know what, what's the Word of God say about this opinion? Or about this situation, should I say? In Matthew 9:35, the Bible tells us that everywhere Jesus went, he was healing the sick, setting the captives free, and casting out devils. He was establishing the kingdom. This is what God was doing. This is what Jesus was doing in the earth. As he walked the area of Capernaum, as he walked the area of Galilee, as he walked the areas that he ministered to, he began to bring the kingdom of God into that place, into that city, into that little village. He would bring the kingdom of God, and he would set the captives free. He would heal the sick, and he would do all the wonders that he was supposed to do, because the kingdom, this is the kingdom state. It says that he will heal the sick. We go back to Isaiah. What would he be? What would he do? It tells us all about it. This is what he was going to be. So in Matthew 16, it says that he was doing miracles. Where was he doing miracles at in Matthew 16? He was doing miracles in his own hometown. Okay? Well, he wasn't doing miracles in his hometown, because why? Unbelief. Why did they not believe him? Why did they not believe Jesus in his own hometown where he grew up? Why did they not believe the familiar Jesus? He was familiar. They knew him. They watched him raise up. They watched him run the streets of Nazareth. He walks in. He's been all over the cities, all over around the area, all over. And the demons, devils are fleeing out. Blind eyes are being healed. The Bible doesn't even tell us the amount of miracles that happened, except it says that if no books can contain all the things that Jesus did in these 3.5 years. You couldn't write enough books to say everything that he did. We only get highlights of what Jesus did. And so he was healing the sick. The lame were walking. The lepers were being set free. The skin was coming back on them. Fingers growing out. There was dead people rising from the dead. There was so much stuff going on. Blind eyes, deaf ears. Didn't matter the situation. When Jesus' kingdom, when the kingdom of God came into a territory, it began to change. Except for in Nazareth, in the familiar places that he was at. Now listen to this. He's in Nazareth, and nothing's happening. Nobody's getting healed. Maybe just a few people. And then he goes to his disciples and he says, who do these people say that I am? What's this city, this place that we're in, who do they say that I am? Jesus wasn't questioning his own identity. He was asking, who do these people say that I am? Because when he came into the territories, that the other places, people believed. People believed the things that he was doing. People believed that he was Messiah. People believed that he was bringing the kingdom of God, because that's what he said he was going to do. And he's contemplating why is not these miracles happening here as they did all around this area? But here, who do they say that I am? And they say, well, some say he's Jesus of Nazareth. He's Jesus. He's Mary's son. That's who they saw him as. And then he turns to Peter and he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood has not told you this, but my Father in heaven has told you and revealed this to you. See, when you grab a hold of the identity of who he is, things begin to change in your life. And then he tells Peter, he changed his name. He said, on this rock, right, Peter, Petros. But what he really meant, on this foundation that I'm telling you is that I am the King of kings and Lord of kings, that I am the Son of the living God, that I am this. He said, on this foundation, on this revelation that you just got, on this revelation that you just received from my Father, that I am the Son of God, then here is what I'm going to do. You will build my ecclesia. You will build my church. That's what we see it as, right? You know what he used? Ecclesia. Ecclesia comes from the Greek word. You know what that means? Assembly. He used a Greek term to represent you will build this assembly of people, not the church. We have changed church. The church culture has changed in so many years. I mean, from the time it was established, just think Steve did a thing and passed it all around, right? He said something, spoke in it, and it changed when it got over here. But since 2,000 years, the way the church started, how much it has changed to today. We talk about the formulation of becoming a mega church. You know, there's a formula that people have established into how to grow churches, and we see it today. People are in and out of the church and they never really see the power of God and nature of God. They hear some scripture, they hear some word, and they walk out the door never changed. But the kingdom of God will change everything within you and everything around you. The ecclesia is just a gathering of people, assembly. In the Greece Empire. It referred to them as a political assembly of citizens in a city-state. The Christian context, it is used to denote the body of believers of a church. But actually, it was something like we would say our Senate. That's what it was like, the ecclesia. We're supposed to be the ecclesia of the world. In 1 John 3:1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. We need to understand the identity that we have. The world didn't even know him. And there's people in the world that don't know him today. There's people in our city. This is 2,000 years after the resurrection of Christ. 2,000 years after the resurrection of Christ, and we still have people in our communities that do not even know the name of Jesus. They know him as a cuss word. They don't have no clue of what the deliverer can do for their life. They have no clue because why? We as a church or ecclesia across the world, we are not doing our part to show the kingdom of God. Because when the kingdom of God comes or is at hand, when the kingdom of God moves into a place, then all things begin to happen. Signs and wonders of the kingdom. We need to understand who we are. In the kingdom. We're just not these Christian people. We are not this Christian group of people. We are living in this kingdom of God. We are establishing it in the land. The kingdom of God lives within me. Does it live within you? If it lives within me and lives within you, then we need to manifest that kingdom of God into the land. That's how we have to do this. But we get so busy, should I say? We talked about some of this yesterday. We just get so busy with life that we get too tired, I guess, should I say. We get too tired that It's not precedent on our, it's not the like the number one thing we need to do, but this was Jesus' number one thing he needed to do, to establish his kingdom in the land. We need to probably get into that place of this is our number one thing to do. And I was talking about this too yesterday. We were just talking, and do you know what it would look like? Do you know the cost it would cost you if the kingdom of God moved into this house or any house? You know what it would cost you? Everything. It would cost you everything. Your camping trips. It would cost you your family outings. It would cost you your family. It would cost you. Because here's why. When the kingdom of God moves in, you're either all in or you're all out. You can't do church like you used to do it. You can't do the same service over and over again because it'll never be the same. Because if people get healed, if blind eyes get open and deaf ears get open and Parkinson's disease gets healed and schizophrenia gets healed and all this stuff gets healed, the lame walk, the lepers are healed, what's going to happen to your life? When the kingdom of God moves in, that you see this all over, this is where revivals happen. I know they're baptizing people all over the United States and all over, they're baptizing, but what are they doing with them? Did the kingdom of God really come? What are they doing with these people when they're baptizing 5,000 people? Are they, what are they doing with them? Are we just leaving them out to dry? Or are we indoctrinating them into a place of understanding who God is in their life? But when the kingdom of God comes into a place, there will be healings and things, the supernatural will begin to happen. You will not be able to control it. But you have to be there to facilitate it. And that's why I said it will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. And most people, even when, I can't remember where it's at in the Bible. I know it's Jesus, this guy was wanting to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, well, go and sell everything. Let me go and tell my dad or whatever. Let me go and do this. And he says, no, follow me now. It's going to cost you everything. And this is where we as a Western church or a Western society don't get that concept. Everything. To do what I do today, it costs me a lot. It's costed me everything. But I gain so much by it. I am so much better than I would ever thought I would be. But to walk this out, to walk out the kingdom of God, it changes, has to change everything in your life. You need to understand who you are. You're not the stuff that's labeled, that the world labels you. You're no longer that old person you used to be. You are the identity. You are not the identity the doctors or the worldview gives you. You are not. You are not. You are a child of the Most High. You are an ambassador of the kingdom. You are priests of God. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. When Jesus went into the water at the Jordan River, Jesus went into the water as Jesus. And he came up to Christ. Listen to me. This is probably, you don't think about this stuff, but he was a man from Galilee that John knew that was coming. He knew that when he seen the Spirit of God rest upon him, that was the Lamb of God. He knew that was going to be the Messiah. He wasn't for sure. That was this guy, Jesus, was his cousin, right? But he said, here comes the Lamb of God when he come in. And as he got into the water and he baptized him, he seen the Holy Spirit come upon him. The Holy Spirit never left him. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have been changed. You have been identified as a son and daughter of the Most High. Get your identity right. Get your identity right. And I'm going to close with this. It's kind of a new revelation, not really a new revelation, but I want you guys to dig into the kingdom. Understand your role in the kingdom. Understand that you are an ambassador to the king. Understand that you are supposed to do more than what you're doing today. Understand that this being an ambassador, you have no opinion. Except the only opinion you have is what the Word of God says. What the King that you follow, what He tells you, that's what you tell people. You can never get in trouble when you do that. When you represent a kingdom, you can never get in trouble. Never get in trouble. Because they don't know how to take it. All they want to do is say, well, you serve this word, you this non-fictional God, or fictional God, should I say, it's non-fictional. Fictional God, you serve. They want to say all kinds of things about you. But you serve the Most High God, the only one God. There's only one. And I'm going to tell you, even as I seen the vision this morning, time is short. I mean, if you watch the news at just a little bit, you start to see these things coming. Are you ready? I believe the saints or the angels of God, I believe the warring angels of God, I believe Christ is on the brink of heaven. He's getting ready to return in might and glory. Don't get so lost in ours. Don't get so lost in your own opinions. Don't get so lost in your own troubles. Begin to worship Him. I mean, begin to take the kingdom outside of your area. Begin to take the kingdom where you can take the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Father God, I just come before you today, Father, as we dig deeper into the kingdom. Father, I pray that we begin to represent you well as ambassadors of the kingdom of God, that we bring the kingdom of God into our territory, not just as individuals, but as a church, as people. Father, that we can demonstrate the kingdom wherever we go. Father, I pray for all fear that is in people to share the good news, to share the gospel. Father, I pray for boldness to come into their spirit. Father, I pray as they read your word, as they establish the understanding of your kingdom, understand the rules and regulations of your kingdom. And here it is, Lord, you said love. You said love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And then you told us, Lord, you said, love your neighbor as yourself. And as you love your enemy, and as you love your neighbor, and as you love the Lord God, your everything that He puts into your heart, your desires, you can take that kingdom of love, of compassion. Lord, I pray you give us boldness in that time. Father, as we reach out to people that we would never reach out to, as we would hug people that we would never hug, Father, I pray we want to represent you well. We want to be just like you were on the earth, Jesus. Father, carry us through this week. Father, let us demonstrate your kingdom. Father, I know that we don't have the testimonies like we should, Lord, because we do not demonstrate the kingdom. So, Father, forgive us, oh God, for not representing you well as ambassadors and sons and daughters of the King. Lord, we're not citizens anymore. We are sons and daughters, and in sons and daughters inherit the kingdom. We are a part of the inheritance, God. So we are so much more than citizens of a kingdomship. But we are sons and daughters of the Most High. So Lord, let that sink into our spirit. Let us sink into our hearts. That we are not citizens of the kingdom, but we are sons and daughters of royalty. So Lord, I pray for boldness. For the miracles, for blind eyes and deaf ears, and every disease that the enemy has labeled people as, to break off the bondage, to take the oppression away. And Father, we pray that in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that your face will shine upon us, that you give us peace. as we leave here today. Bless your people today. Bless your sons and bless your daughters today. Father, let your love overwhelm them. Let it chase them down. Father, in their weakest moments, Father, I pray that your love will overshadow them. You will give them peace in those distraught times, oh God. You will carry them when they cannot walk anymore, Lord, when they cannot move anymore. You will carry them to give them rest. So, Father, be with us today, tomorrow, and each and every moment. We bless you, Lord God, King of the universe. We bless you. We worship you. Father, I pray over Sean, Father, as he prepares his message for next week. Father, I pray that you would just begin to give him revelation. You will give him a spirit of understanding in the depths of the things that you show him this week, in the depths of the things that you give him. Father, I pray that you bless him. You pour out your abundance upon him, oh, Father God. Father, I pray over Danielle, Father, today, and I just pray for healing over her body today. Father, we just pray healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Father, keep us, as we leave today, keep the sun bright on our eyes and bright on our bodies. And let your glory be revealed throughout the earth. We pray for the nation of Israel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I hope you understand a little more about the kingdom. And I hope you understand a little bit more about your role as sons and daughters of the king. I hope you understand your role as ambassadors of the king. Because you are more than conquerors. You are a representative of the king. Amen.